to me, the belly of the beast, sort of the purveyor of the lies, especially around vaccines and autism, is the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the two things that they have studied, and I use the term studied loosely, regarding vaccines and autism, were thimerosal, which is the mercury-containing preservative that used to be in a lot of vaccines, but is now only in the flu shot. They looked at thimerosal-containing vaccines and its relationship to autism, and then they looked at the timing of the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, and its relationship to autism. And somehow they, you know, based on these studies, which are very much flawed and I would contend fraudulent, based on these two studies, they were able to divine that the rest of the vaccination schedule, the rest of the 17 vaccines that are currently on the childhood vaccination schedule, have nothing to do with autism, even though they've never been studied. And, you know, so the CDC kind of decrees this. And they also, you know, are sort of the purveyors of information to pediatricians around the United States. So, you know, many, many pediatricians trust the CDC for their information. They use the vaccination schedule. And, you know, vaccines are big business for the Centers of Disease Control. They devote $5 billion of their budget annually for vaccines, the Vaccines for Children program. And so, you know, there's a strong conflict of interest there. And CDC really, you know, trumpets, oh, vaccines don't cause autism. And they've been very, very successful with the mainstream media, like you mentioned, with the ABC interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. But really, they are so conflicted in terms of their relationships with the pharmaceutical industry, their relationships with the amount of money that they actually get from vaccinations. And so, you know, you kind of have to look at this construct fundamentally. The CDC has not studied this adequately. The studies that they have been done are fatally flawed. And again, I would say fraudulent. And we just kind of have to start from that particular basis. Let's break it down. First, I'll start with thimerosal, which is, you know, a mercury-containing preservative. My son, who's vaccine injured, received, you know, the maximum dose of thimerosal that he could possibly receive in his infant vaccines, you know, has paid for it, you know, with his life. He's 25 years old and he's on verbal. But when you look at the fundamental study, when the CDC first looked at the amount of mercury that was in the vaccines that were given in the first month of life, and they compared the autism rates for those kids that got the maximum amount of mercury in that first month of life versus those kids that received no mercury in the first month of life, the rate of autism in the vaccinated kids, the exposed kids, was 7.6 times higher. So 760% higher in the thimerosal-containing vaccinated children. And then what the CDC did is they went further and, you know, massaged the numbers. The only reason that we know about these initial studies is because we received them via the Freedom of Information Act. And, you know, I was one of the individuals way back then in 1999, 2000, that was submitting Freedom of Information Act requests to get this information. But the CDC, before they actually published the information, they took that data and they went through five statistical iterations where they would actually look at the rates of autism in individual clinics that were considered in these studies. You know, these their studies are based on a series of 9 HMOs with in a collection of data called the Vaccine Safety Data Link. But they would selectively, they would look at clinics that had high autism rates and high vaccine uptake. And they would simply pull out that data. They would cherry pick, or they would pull out that information in order to massage the numbers. So, you know, the statistical difference between thimerosal containing vaccinated kids and unvaccinated kids would become less and less and less. And over those five iterations that they did in terms of reanalyzing the statistics, then they took that relationship from 7.6 times more likely to get an autism diagnosis, and they diluted it down to the point where there was literally no difference between vaccinated children and unvaccinated children. And they, and you know, so they cherry picked the data. They pulled out data that they didn't like. They pulled out clinics where there was a lot of autism. So they take that information out. And then they also considered children as young as 0 years of age. Now, you don't really get an autism diagnosis until you're about, on average, it's about 42 months of age. So 3.5 years. So if you take a child who is just a newborn and say that they received their birth hepatitis B shot and they don't have autism, well, they're too young to get a diagnosis of autism. So it really biases everything not to find a signal. Is that, and so they use these statistical tricks, and it's written there, right there in plain English, the final paper that the CDC published on thimerosal containing vaccines and autism came out in 2003 in the journal Pediatrics. And it shows directly, oh yeah, they considered children down to 0 years of age, and they actually lied and said that the average age of autism diagnosis was 14 months, where their own background data showed that the average age of diagnosis was 3.5 years. So, you know, it was just sort of lie upon lie and, you know, trick upon trick over those five iterations of data. And so that's what made that original study fraudulent. That's such a good point, because when they started their original analysis, the one that was buried and never released to the public, the placebo control was an individual who received no mercury, okay, which would be an appropriate control. That would be like getting a saline shot, right? No mercury in it. And what they did over those iterations is, instead of comparing those children who got high levels of mercury to no mercury, they took away the placebo control and they started to look at children who maybe got, you know, within their first month of life, maybe they got 12.5 micrograms of mercury versus those that got 14.5 micrograms of mercury. So they took the difference in the amount of exposure and they took it away. And the CDC, as well as the FDA, they do this regularly. They will not use a true placebo control. When they tested the HPV vaccine, the Gardasil vaccine, they actually, in the original clinical trials in 2006, instead of giving the control group a saline shot, they gave them actually the same dosage of aluminum, which is an adjuvant. It stimulates the immune system. They gave the control groups aluminum that was actually a component in the Gardasil vaccine, because they knew that aluminum was, you know, aluminum is a neurotoxin. There's a doctor, Christopher Exley, another doctor, Chris Shaw, that have written about this extensively. But they eliminate the placebo, so there is no actual experimental control group. So, you know, that difference between the amount of vaccine injury, the amount of autism, the amount of whatever between the experimental group and the control group, and then that becomes less and less and less. It's actually based, you know, it's based on a pack of lies, and it's based on another vaccine or a vaccine component that has been shown or proven to cause injury. And so how is that a valid control? I want to also talk about the other thing that the CDC has looked at based on autism, and that's the timing of the MMR vaccine. And when you look at the actual information, the actual study that came out, this study came out in 2004, it shows, you know, the conclusion is that vaccines don't cause autism, that there's no relationship between the timing of the MMR vaccine, the age of the child and the MMR vaccine, and autism incidence. But when you look at the data, it shows something different. It showed that even in that study, that out of all of the children that were considered, if they got the MMR on time, they were at least 50% more likely to get an autism diagnosis than those kids where they just delayed the MMR vaccine by to over 3 years of age. Wow. And getting the MMR on time is usually like 12 to 15 months of age. So it's clear, you know, you look at the abstract, you look at what doctors would read because they're super busy, you know, pediatricians would read, and it says there's no relationship. But when you look at the actual data, it shows something very, very different. And then a whistleblower came forward to me in 2013, Dr. William Thompson. He's a CDC scientist. He was one of the co-authors on the paper. And he gave me the raw data to analyze. And he said, I want you to, he wanted me to start with the MMR study. And what we found was that African-American males, when you study the information correctly, were 3.5 times more likely to get an autism diagnosis if they got the MMR vaccine on time. And so, and he told me, you know, I remember when I found the result, I told him, and he said, oh, you found it. And I said, well, tell me what I found. And he said, oh, we found the same result, you know, back in 2001. In fact, he remembers the day that they saw the result. They called it the African American effect. And what they did was they buried all that information. They rolled in trash dumpsters, you know, the big blue recycle bins, and they shredded all of the information that was associated with that effect. And so, you know, there's a definitive link when you, and I've republished this, I have a paper in what's called the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, where I redid the analysis, and it shows that African-American males are much more susceptible to autism when they get the MMR on time.